It's a little split broadcast here. Pat Bradley, Matty T, Little Rock, up in Fayetteville, the Pryor Center, Justin Akery and Chuck Barrett. Still hey, over buddy. There talking business.
Guess what we're going to do to LSU Saturday?
And basketball. Hit them up.
We're going to hit them up.
Oh, I like that.
Homie.
He didn't bring the shooter to Fayetteville?
No, he's got to hold down the fort, my man.
Chuck, somebody's got to work around here, Chuck.
Hey, well, everybody's safe up here since the shooter's still on the
road. Chuck, Pat's
you
under
a... your wives and girlfriends out.
Yeah, you know that's right.
Hide your wife.
Pat's under a mountain of paperwork. I mean, he's just grinding through it down there, you know.
Well,
you know how he does.
The first sign of cold and snow usually signals to me some basketball season's beginning, but it's come a little bit early this year. Usually we don't get until, what, like December at the very, very earliest.
Yeah, what was Tommy saying today? It's the earliest snow since like 50-something.
This really? Feels like conference season weather.
Yeah,
basketball. I mean, it feels like we ought to be going to Missouri or something to play basketball.
He'd be going there for football soon enough.
Yeah.
So let's start with football, because I do want to get into the basketball, certainly. Tonight we got a split deal again. I want to remind everybody, Brett Bielema show at 7 o'clock. Chuck will be on there with Coach, and then it'll be Alex Perlman doing the basketball game, because Chuck can't be in two places at once, as talented as he is. So we'll be joining the basketball game, I guess, sort of midstream. So we'll be
J.I.P.
J.I.P.
Right.
And for those of you who are devout basketball fans, don't care about football, you feel like you're getting J.I.P'd.
That's right.
But you're not. You're getting
maybe
the best of both worlds.
That's right.
Most people I know like both. So, What are your thoughts on weather, matchup, LSU, everything? I mean, kind of give me your overview here.
Well, it's certainly going to be different with the weather. There's no doubt about that. And I think by the time we get to kickoff Saturday night, for most people that are not playing in the game, that's what we're going to be talking about, is how cold it is. Mm-hmm. And it is going to be different. And now, from what I understand, the weather's hit Baton Rouge, and they're kind of dealing with it down there too. I think it's going to be a physical football game. I'm anxious to see, from an LSU standpoint, how they bounce back physically and emotionally from that ball game with Alabama. You know, Alabama's fully capable of beating you two or three times. You know, they beat you in the game they play, and then you're beat up the next week, or you're mentally scarred. And I'm anxious to see how LSU is in that regard. And I'm anxious to see how the Razorbacks are in the aftermath of number one in open week. But that was a brutal loss in Starkville. Of all 17, I'm telling you, I think that one may have hurt the worst.
Really? Okay.
And so I think there's some recovery there too. And but I expect it to be a physical football game. If it's cold, if it's snowy, you know, turnovers are going to come into play. And I hope it's a great crowd. I think it will be.
There are only a couple thousand seats left, according to Cale Gober earlier today.
Okay. So. Oh, you had Cale on.
Yeah.
The Battle of the Ravine.
Yes, we talked to
him. He was excited, I'm sure.
Yeah, you bet. That's right. He's going to have his eye towards – luckily, that's at 3, so he can keep an eye on that score and not be distracted during the Arkansas game. But the only significant injury we heard about, we talked to Jim Hawthorne earlier.
Uh-huh.
He said Hilliard is the only guy that maybe is a little dinged up, got a shoulder stinger in the game the other day against Alabama. So sounds like they've come out relatively healthy, unfortunately. Not that I wish injuries on anybody, but I'm sure they're pretty bruised and battered, whether they're – injured or just kind of nicked up a little bit, different deal. But
I'm sure they are, and you know, both teams have such a similar approach. Both teams are committed to try to run the football come hell or high water. I mean, that's what they're going to do, and they're going to keep trying it and keep doing it until you just absolutely prove to them that they can't do it anymore. And so yeah, it plays itself into the weather. I don't think either team in terms of their style of play is going to be fazed by the weather. I think what's going to be interesting is, you know, when you're out there playing, it doesn't seem so cold. If you're keeping the football and LSU's offense is standing over there on the sidelines for 5 or 6 minutes at a time, that's when it gets cold.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's going to be a good game. Arkansas and LSU find ways to play good games. I know people, and I include myself in this, will miss playing LSU the Friday after Thanksgiving. But I do think we get a competitive advantage from the standpoint that we're going to catch them after they play Alabama, and I think that matters.
I hope that's the case.
I hope so, too.
What about, you know, we talked a lot about this, and I should have asked Barry about this when he was here, but, you know, Brandon's thrown 40 or more passes in 3 straight games. Some of that is a function of having to make, you know, score late in the game, and maybe the rise of Hunter Henry, of course. They were trying to throw at him as much as they could the other day, but I can't imagine – when they draw up their game plan, that him throwing the ball 40 times is part of the plan going in.
No, they've not run the ball as well the last two or three games, and I think they'd tell you that, and they know that, and they're gonna have to get better in that respect. And the hard part is in this league, you just don't have a chance to get better at it. Mm-hmm. You don't have one of those games where you can win a conference ball game and gain a little confidence. And I think we all kind of look at it right now, and you say, gosh, if they could just win a game. The Avalanche might start, and then you might win another one. But the thing is, there's not one of those teams on the schedule this year that allows you to kind of get going.
Can a brother get Vandy up in here? I mean, really?
I wouldn't want to say that, but
I can though.
Well, I mean, very honestly, there are some teams on the other side that you wish you could play just to sort of get the ball rolling.
Yeah, of all the years, I mean, no offense, I mean, South Carolina is still a good football team, but of all the years they have South Carolina go off the schedule,
I think they could run on them a little bit.
I imagine that's a safe bet. So what is your expectation? I know we're all homers here, but, I mean, as far as it plays out, I mean, we got pretty similar teams, basically. It comes down to and I thought Jim Hawthorne made a good point. He said whoever can throw it better, because we got to sort of assume that it's going to be a bit of a wash in the run game.
Probably so. I think it's going to be who can hang on to the football best. Even if it doesn't snow, it's going to be cold. And, hey, let's be honest. Arkansas's got a lot of players from Florida on their roster. They got a lot of players from the southern parts of the United States, and it's going to be cold for them too. I think Arkansas's got an advantage because they've been able to practice in it this week. I think that helps them, but I really think in a game, a cold weather game, the fact that the football is really hard plays a role in the outcome. Throwing and catching and hanging on to it, kicking it, punting it.
Now, this will be the coldest game for a lot of these guys that they've ever played.
Absolutely. And I really do think turnovers and things of that nature that, I think even more so than a lot of ball games, it's going to be a big factor Saturday night.
Well, let me shift into basketball so Pat can get in here, because I know he's chomping at the bit, and you are too, in talking to you off the air. I mean, this is an exciting team. There's a lot to be excited about. The problem is there are fans who have said, heard it before, you've been telling me, it's been coming, da-da-da. But it has been a steady progression. You know, last year you get into the postseason, not the postseason everybody wanted, but it is a steady progression. You got some more talent added to the roster this year, so... Pat, in talking to you, I know we're excited about what we've got, and Chuck's had a chance to see him as well. But, you guys know a little more than I do. I haven't had a chance to see him other than the highlight stuff. But, looks like they're doing all the right things.
You hear me talking about it all the time, so I want to hear Chuck and some of the things he sees with this team.
Well, I think it's going to, a lot of it's going to go through Bobby Portis. And Bobby Portis is going to be the bell cow of this team. When you think about the great Arkansas teams, there's always been a low post guy. There's always been an inside-outside game, so to speak. And I just think Portis is as good as he was last year. I think he's significantly better now. And I think he's going to play a role in everything that happens this year. I'm excited to see Jabril Durham against a good team, against a good opponent and a good atmosphere. Like, when they go to Iowa State, when they play over at Clemson, I think those are important games, because he's got a chance, I think, to be the answer there. Now you got to go do it in the games. But from what I've seen, he's really a heady player. He knows how to play the game. And there are a lot of guys that have a lot of ability, but there aren't all that many that really know how to play the game. And I think he falls into that category. And I look for him to, probably to have the most impact of, maybe somebody that wasn't around before.
Because really at the end of the day, Chuck, we don't have a guy, and I always go back to, you can look at UConn this year with their guy, Shabazz, who was a guy that could control the game. He could score. The kid Burke from Michigan as a point guard, control the game, but he could get you some tough baskets. What I see, and you mentioned Portis, he's a guy now where if the offense hadn't scored in a couple minutes, he's talented enough to say, okay, let's run a pick and pop, a pick
That's
and roll.
Right.
Put him in the block now. He can score off the block. And you say Durham is a guy, sometimes you just need a point guard, not to give you a bunch of points, but to calm everybody down. Let's get something good here, fellas, in the half-court offense that we haven't been able to get anything. So, because you know how Coach Anderson's system, defensively they're going to run. So you don't a lot of times need that one point guard to control everything. But key moments going on the road against Iowa State, which is, by the way, just been ranked one of the top 25 non-conference games that you're going to get before January 1st. So that is a need. You always need that PG. But one thing, too, this kind of went a little under the radar, to some people. Jimmy Witt, the signing from yesterday, this kid Jimmy Witt, big time now. Big time.
Hey, that's a huge get. I mean, you're going into Columbia, you're signing the Missouri Player of the Year, and that's a huge get. And, you know, hopefully he turns out to be everything that he's advertised to be. Talking a little bit more about Durham, though, the thing that I like about him, Pat, is he carries himself like a point guard. He's not a two guy trying to act like a point. I mean, he's a point guard. That is his position. That's his mentality. And I've seen the other guys gravitate to that. Mm. I would liken it in football to a guy that's got a quarterback that's got command in the huddle. And Durham's just got command out there. And I think that's been really missing.
He seems to be mature. I've seen maybe a couple practices, but I watched him in Valonia for that red-white game down here. And he seemed to be mature, I would say, when just dealing with him. You know, he looked like a guy that is a junior college guy. And that's what you want from junior college guys. You want them to come in and already have a couple years under their belt so you know that they're all business.
Well, they're not the only ones. But, I mean, they look like, watching them the other night in the red-white game up here, they look like the athletic team that he wants. And, there's a difference sometimes in being an athletic player and being a really good basketball player. And I think he's got a collection of basketball players now. And I think it's really the first time since he's been here that he can say that.
And what about the shooters? We're always looking for the – do you think Anthlon's going to be a lot more consistent, A, and is there somebody else that you've observed has improved enough that they're going to be a difference maker shooting the ball?
Well, I think Bell's going to have to, all great shooters are streaky, and I know I'm not telling you anything you don't know. You would hope that he would be disciplined in getting those good shots. And what I mean by that is I think there were times a year ago when he forced shots, didn't square up real well. I think he's got to develop some consistency there. I'm anxious to see guys like Miles in terms of the mid-range jumper. Ja'Cory Williams has shown some pretty good range early on, and I'm not talking necessarily about threes, but, good consistent shooting from the elbow and such. And, the mid-range game, I think, has got a chance to be a lot better. And, when you really get into conference play, that's a really important part of your offensive package.
Sure. High-quality shots, right?
That's right.
Pat, you want to give away some Razorback tickets for the LSU game? I'll tell you what, let's get this question in from Sean in Pine Bluff, and then if you want in on a Razorback question and win some tickets. Now, listen, I don't want you to try to win the tickets unless you're going to use them. So if you don't mind bundling up and making the drive up here to Fayetteville, great. If you do, then don't take the tickets because we want them to go to somebody who's going to actually get up here and use them because they're going to need all the body heat they can muster out there in the stands this weekend. 433-1037 if you want to answer our question. It has to do with the last time Arkansas knocked off LSU and also with a guy who's making his first NFL start this weekend. There's your hint. Sean, what's up, buddy?
Hey, I just got a question or two for Mr. Chuck Barrett. First of all, I just want to tell you thank you for all the time you do announcing the Razorback games. Thoroughly enjoy listening to your call.
Thank you.
Yes, sir. I have a question about our schedule. I noticed that we only play Kentucky and Florida at their home. We don't play neither one of them teams twice, and I was just wondering how you think our conference schedule, if it's a favor for us, it doesn't seem to be as difficult as normal. And my second question is about a young man, and his name has just completely slipped my mind since I've been on hold. But he's a freshman. I believe he's a point guard coming in. Matt Jones is real high on him, and his name has just completely escaped.
Anton Beard.
There
Anton
you go.
Anton Beard? Yeah.
I'd love to hear what you think about that young man, and I will sit back and listen, and thanks for taking my call.
Thanks, Sean.
Yeah, in the red-white game that I saw in Fayetteville, he's got a knack of getting into the lane and creating a shot and not just throwing up some wild shot. I mean, you know what I'm talking about, Justin. You'll sometimes see a point guard penetrate so far into the key that they get past the point of no return and they'll just throw some wild shot up there that has no chance of going in. He really is controlled when he penetrates. There's a plan to what he's doing, and he does not play out of control, and I think he's got a chance to be a really good player. One of those guys, You know, either he or Durham, I think one of those guys is going to have a chance to play significantly, maybe from the very beginning, because, you know, if they're going to get where they want to go at the end of the year, one of those guys is going to have to assume that spot, whether as a starter or whether as somebody that, you know, somebody that comes off the bench. In terms of the schedule, and I'm not trying to be flippant about this, but I look at football and basketball and baseball, and I don't know what I think about the scheduling because I'm nowhere close to figuring it out.
You know, would you like to go back to divisions?
I think it'd be easier. I mean, it's like I can just tell you from a broadcasting standpoint. I mean, you're looking at, you know, what, 14 teams in one big pile right there, and you're counting down by one, and you know, there's not much difference between 7 and 10. That's a long way of saying, yeah, I like the divisions. It seems like for now this is what they're going with.
All right, real quick, our trivia question.
Are we going to get an answer now on it or after the break? Probably should do it now, right?
You're running the board. Do what you want, babe.
Let's get it now.
It's not really a hard question. It's if you guess at it, you'll have a shot at it. Chuck will remember all too well. Ryan Mallett, of course, started at quarterback the last time Arkansas knocked off LSU. Nile Davis had a huge game, but really it was Ryan's arm that helped kind of bail the Hogs out, not to mention a couple of big receptions. How many touchdown passes did Ryan Mallett throw on November the 27, 2010, the last time Arkansas knocked off LSU? That is the question. The answer will be...
Start with Eric. There you go.
Hey, let's go to Eric. Eric, you're up first. How many touchdown passes by Mallett, who will make his first NFL start this weekend, by the way, the last time Arkansas knocked off LSU?
I'm going to say 3.
3 is right. That was
Bah-ho!
Can you remember who they were to? Chuck Barrett, do you remember?
Kobe Hamilton was one, I think.
Yes, Kobe had 2. He had the big one before the half and another one that he squeezed in down the left sideline.
DJ, was it DJ?
It was actually It was Joe Adams.
Joe Adams.
In the fourth quarter, a 39-yarder.
A lot of playmakers on that team.
How about 85 to Kobe, 80 to Kobe, 39 to Joe?
Okay.
How do you do?
Eric, hang on. Gentlemen, we will be back. Chuck, can you hang on 1 second?
Sure.
Okay,
sure.
Buddy, thank you. Taking us into the break is Landers Chevrolet, the original Landers Chevrolet, exit 121 in Benton off of I-30. You can check them out online. You can make a service appointment online. You can look at all the inventory from the comfort of your home or your office. Website, LandersChevrolet.com, or just go out there and see Tim Hall. I saw him the other day. He says, come on down, everybody. That's in Benton, exit 121 off of I-30 Chevy Silverado. They've got everything you need. Look outside, the weather. You need a fantastic, durable truck for a great, great price. They'll do it. The original Lander Chevrolet in Benton, exit 121 off of I-30.
This is the sound of a wintry morning run.